Gear up at the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Now, time for the show. Here's your host of the Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Mark Sexton with Pure Fishing, Lord High Grand Kahuna of all aquatic creatures. And how's that for an introduction, bud?
That's original, I'll give you that. I haven't heard that one before.
Well, we were talking off air, and I told Tristan, I said, you know, I've known you for over 20 years now, and of all the people I talk to have on the show, I really consider you a friend and a fishing buddy. So I'm going to get you out here hunting yet, but you keep making excuses.
Yeah, well, that little thing called life gets in the way too often, I'm afraid.
What is your official title now?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's now changed to Manager of Fish Science and Product Testing.
That covers a pretty good gap.
Yeah, it's kind of the jack of all, but I dig that. You get to do different stuff every day. It keeps you young.
That's true. And I remember one story you had years ago when you and Doc and everybody would come out here and we'd do our trout fishing. You were talking about you were always experimenting, always looking for something new, and you probably had one of the most diversified expense accounts the company ever saw.
Yeah. Yeah. One day you're buying, nuts and bolts, and the next day you're buying ground up crickets. And, next day you're in the Amazon. it's kind of all over the board, but I love it. It's a great gig.
I always loved calling you, too, and figuring out where on the face of the earth you were.
Yeah, well, lucky enough to work for this great company and, a lot of great opportunities, and they're awfully aggressive in how they attack the market, and, I just got lucky enough to be in the right space at the right time, and, I'm not going to let this donkey go. I'm going to ride this thing until it bucks me off.
Smart man. Where's Doc these days? He's retired and down in Florida somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's in St. George Island, just off the panhandle of Florida, and he's loving life. In fact, we still use him. We sent a bunch of those weird little baits down to him once in a while so he can saltwater fish for us, and that works out great because then we don't have to travel, and he's still involved with all the experimentation, and anytime we can consult with him, we will take it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that man is probably the close to being able to think like a fish than anybody I've ever seen. I mean,
yeah, I'm afraid he probably has gills somewhere, but I am not going to look.
Has a PhD in bass from Texas A&M. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Well, just look at what he's created for Pure Fishing. How many millions of dollars it's made for the company, and how many people use it. Obviously, he's on the right track somewhere.
Yeah, he's a dedicated man and knew what he wanted the whole time and went and achieved it. Pretty good.
Well, tell him hi for me next time you talk with him.
I can do that.
Now let's get down to some business here. It's summertime in Nebraska. You're familiar with that. I get a lot of questions from people. They say, how do you fish when it's so darn hot?
Well, roll up the window so some of the air conditioning stays in the pickup a little longer. it's actually hot's good. Fish like it warm. Not obviously too hot, but and it's just you gotta get up earlier, and then you gotta, go a little later. And I know everyone can't fish when they absolutely want to, so the best time to fish is when you can. But early mornings are always the best. The water cools a little bit at night. A lot of the bugs come up and enjoy the cool water. The little fish chase the bugs. The medium fish chase the little fish. And then big boy comes up and likes to eat. So, and topwater fishing is great in the summer, and that's one of the best things about warm water. It's an exciting way to catch, largemouth. For when you get to like walleyes and stuff, when it gets hot, that's why I highly recommend you go golfing until it cools off. They can be tough, but, they'll hang out in that deeper water, and you can find them if you look for them, especially with today's electronics. It makes it a lot easier to find fish, but, you still got to make them bite. And walleyes, when it's warm, oof, They just don't like that warm weather as much as other species.
Right. And there's a world of difference between walleye and bass when it comes to fishing in warmer weather. I tell people a lot of time, I say, fish are not a lot different than us. When it gets hot, we're looking for someplace cool, so are they. They'll go deeper.
That's very true, actually.
Go deeper, you know, go to the shade, you know, attack out from the shadows and stuff like that. They're not much different than us.
Thing you got to remember is, you know, the surface water temperature can be really hot, but you get even a couple feet under the surface, she cools off pretty good.
Yeah, even Lake Maloney, which you've fished here, it's not very deep, but most of the time in the summer you can jump in and you can feel the thermocline at probably 5 or 6 feet. Very noticeable.
Yeah, I think that's why it feels so good to jump in. It's like a cool sensation, right?
That's right. Matter of fact, I was Lake Maloney, and you, I was thinking, I was telling the story the other day of how I almost became a legend recovering rods that got jerked out of the boat.
that was awesome. Still unbelievable. Honestly, still unbelievable.
And two in one day.
Yeah, what are the odds? I mean, I want to look that up on DraftKings. That's got to be way high.
That was a classic example of your guide knowing the lake and the structure underneath and whether or not you can get away with that.
Yep. That was remarkable. I'll give you that. That's when I looked at Doc, he looked at me, he's like, that just happened.
And that was some super new, not yet on the market rigging that Doc had brought. Suveron, I think, was the name of it.
And yeah, that was actually about a $500 thing you recovered, so there probably should be some recovery fees in there for you.
Well, that, you know, and add about 18 years of interest. Yeah, okay. We'll talk to him.
I'll give you my special accountant. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What are for lures that you would use in the summertime? Let's talk about walleye first. And if you have to go a little deeper for walleye, what's a good lure to use?
Yeah, it depends where you're fishing too. If it's big open water and they're cruising, chasing stuff, it's hard to beat trolling. You know, flicker shads, flicker minnows, you know, cover a ton of water and start trying to put the puzzle together. You know, when you catch a couple or get a couple bumps or mark a bunch of bait, you know, start figuring out your flight pattern basically. If you're seeing nothing, pull up stakes and go. I mean, those fish, they swim and they eat. They don't sit still very often. So cover a lot of water. And, you know, and once you find them, you know, then you can, you know, sit on them with slip bobbers or maybe something slower with a rig and, you know, a minnow or a worm or something. But, you know, I think covering water is the best way to do it because they're hunting all day. You know, when the water's warm, they need to eat more. And that's what they do. So fish are pretty stupid animals. They swim and they eat, and that's about it. So, you know, that's number one. As many spreads as you can get out on your boat. And just cover water and start figuring it out, like private investigate that stuff.
That's a classic point in all this that you mentioned is you got to figure out what they're doing and what they want. And I've, you know, learned that many, many years ago that if I'm not catching anything in 5 or 6 minutes on that particular lure, I'm changing, maybe changing depth, maybe changing speed, whatever. I'm always trying to come up with a combination that starts getting a strike and then zero in on things.
That's exactly right. You know, it's almost like being a newborn parent, you know, like trying to figure out what they're trying to tell you because all they do is scream. You know, it's usually one of five things, but it takes experience to figure out which one it is.
That's true. That's true.
Fishing's kind of the same way. And if I don't care how seasoned you are or how old of a veteran you are, you know, it's the same process every time. It's, you know, what depth are they at? What are they feeding on? Are they feeding up? Are they feeding down? Are they relating to anything? I mean, there's a myriad of questions you go through in your head. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And, you know, you make some educated guesses and hopefully cut some corners. So,
right.
But, you know, that's a part of fishing we all like. Same as hunting. You know, it's the hunt. It's not just the acquisition of the game. It's the hunt.
That's true. The longer I get into my hunting career, pulling the trigger is actually the letdown. You know, I have more fun getting there.
I 100% agree. Now, when I was a kid, I don't think I would have said that. You know, I was kind of trigger happy, but
we all go through that. Yeah,
it's a natural progression, and I think it's healthy. But
we're going to have to step away for a couple commercials. But when we come back, let's talk about the same thing with bass and the type of lures for them. So
Okay. Stay
with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Westfield Pharmacy is making your life easier. Refill your prescriptions online at westfieldpharmacy.com or use the convenient Westfield Pharmacy mobile app on your smartphone. Westfield Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy, caring for you and about you.
It's Stump the Chumps on Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham and TJ of the Minnow Bucket, where they open up the phone lines and let you determine the topics and the flow of the show. It's your chance to call in and put their outdoor knowledge to the test, or maybe your own. Phone lines open up in the KODY studios once a month on Friday at 8:30. So have your questions ready, and if you can stump the guys, you might even win a prize. Keep listening to Outdoor Connection on KODY.
A tradition of looking out for you, here for everything you do, wherever life takes you, we've got you covered.
This is Marcy from Hines & Insurance. Whatever your insurance needs are, no matter what your life situation is, we've got you covered. The best coverage at the lowest possible rate. We've built our reputation on it. Hines & Insurance in the Big White House on the corner of 4th and Willow.
The deals are hot on the Prairie Shopping Network. Get discounted coupons every day, like wristbands and family passes to Cody Go-Karts, or discounted service and support from Computer Troubleshooters. More deals are waiting at PrairieShoppingNetwork.com. That's PrairieShoppingNetwork.com.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Mostly sunny skies here for today with a high in the mid-80s. Southeast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly clear, a low near 61. Sunshine, high of 88 degrees. Sunday, a slight chance for showers and storms here late. A blend of clouds and sunshine develops with a high around 95. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham. Brought to you by the Minnow Bucket. For every hunting excursion, gear up at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Mark Sexton this morning with Pure Fishing. And we were talking about summertime fishing for walleye. Let's shift over and go to largemouth bass, which is largemouth and to a certain extent smallmouth bass are probably the number two choices out here. So what would you recommend for that? Nice, sunny, 90-degree day.
Oh, sounds good to me. you know, for largemouth, you know, it's they love topwaters in the morning in the summertime. They just do. And they can be over 30 foot of water still hitting things on the top. They're just chasing stuff and, you know, trying to kill it and eat. And morning's one of their favorite times. They love low light conditions, so you can do the same in the evenings. But mornings tend to be a little better. After that, you know, the sun gets up and gets high. They don't have eyelids, right? So they have a trouble, like, looking into the sun. So they get a little bit deeper, you know, just enough where, or some shade, find some cover, get under a dock or some limbs or something. And then you kind of got to go after them with some structure-type baits, you know, jigs, maybe if they're in some deep grass, some 10-inch power worms, you know, on a Texas rig, stuff like that. You know, and if you get a little bit of clouds here and there, you can get them to chase crankbaits and coming out. But seems like a lot of times when in the dog hours of the day, you got to go right after them, you know, and just kind of get in their lair and make them mad and make them bite. But, you know, for smallmouth, they're gypsies, you know, and you can't rely on them, but, boy, they're fun to chase. And they love, you know, big, long underwater points where it's basically like a runway for them. They can crash bait into it. I mean, they're murderers. I would hate to be a minnow or a shad in a body of water that has smallmouth, because I would be scared. They are born killers. But they, you know, they eat a ton of crawdads, but they also eat whatever they can. That's just a general rule. So, you know, I would start shallow and then go deep, you know, not too long after the sun gets above the trees is what I would do with, like, drop shots. And and then stuff that gets right, you know, where they live, basically.
You know, all the times you've been out here and we fish together, I don't think I've ever taken you out along the canal for smallmouth. I got to do that.
That sparks my interest, Rick, and I'll be really honest. That might make me make the drive.
Most of the canals here, the main canals, are lined with riprap, so they've got all the habitat they need. And there's generally a service road that runs parallel with the canal. And years ago, I was fishing with my father-in-law at the time. And, you know, I didn't want a 75-plus-year-old man walking up and down those rocks. So I came up and started using these long, extending crappie jigging poles. And you can stand up and walk where it's easy and just drift down the canal. And it is a riot.
That would be fun.
Bring your son out and come do that sometime.
Maybe right around dove season, too.
Oh, darn.
Cast and blast.
That would, but there are so many smallmouth that we've got conditions where they're kind of stunted in some areas, and about 1 in 10, 1 in 12 is an actual keeper, but it's a riot. And on those poles, you know, even a half-pound smallmouth feels like you've got Moby Dick on the line for a little bit.
They are amazing fish. I don't know if any of you caught this last week, Major League Fishing did a big tournament on the St. Lawrence River. And these guys were catching, like 130 pounds of smallmouth a day.
Man.
The tune of like all 3.5 to 6 pounders. These guys, these are professionals, and they were tuckered out. I mean, these smallmouth beat the crap out of them, but it was the most amazing fishery I've ever got to see. But they are a fun fish, and you know, for kids, it's a great way to get them hooked on fishing.
Another good spot out this way for smallmouth like that is put in at Pier, South Dakota, and drift down to Francis Case Lake, you know, fish the shorelines there. There's some great smallmouth fishing there, too.
Yeah, so. The river's just fun to be on anyway. You know, you don't know what you're going to catch half the time, which is part of the fun, a little variety pack.
Exactly. So what are you guys inventing to get on the market that we should be putting in our tackle boxes?
Well, I tell you, we have the last couple years have been our best years ever, probably. And, you know, obviously, we're at this little sickness we had last year, there was a lot of people that went fishing, you know, and they didn't went outdoors because they weren't supposed to go do normal things, right? So
I put that in my column a couple times. I said, you know, don't worry about COVID. You know, the outdoors is not closed. Get out and do something.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it took that to get people out again, but they're out in droves, you know, kayaks and boat sails and fishing sales were all just great. And you know, we got a couple product lines for, you know, for walleyes. We've got a ton of good stuff. You know, the flicker shads, flicker minnows are great. We have a new one called the Hit Stick that you control or throw as a jerk bait or whatever. But so, you know, back in the old days, everyone thought you needed balsa baits to troll because they had the special action or something and really high flotation. And that's the neat thing about balsa. The problem with balsa is you can't trust it. You never get the same chunk of wood twice, and they're not durable, and you can't cast them. So we came up with a bait called a Hit Stick. It's a plastic bait with some little discs on the bottom of it that help create the balsa action without having to use balsa. And that is going through the roof. I mean, our walleye guys, they're begging for them. And, I mean, we literally can't make them fast enough right now. So that's a really good one for us.
Walk over to production, grab a few before they get out the door, and send them here.
They might have a security guard there now. He might shoot me. Might be worth it if he's just going to wound me, but I don't know. On the bass side, we have this new stuff called Berkley Powerbait Max Scent. Came out several years ago, and it's just finally being discovered by a lot of largemouth anglers that it's just unbelievable for largemouth. But where it really shines is for smallmouth. I mean, they go nuts for it. They jump out of the water for this stuff. We nailed the formulation package on that one. probably better than we have on a lot of things. And it's just one of those baits, you know, it's a lot of natural looking baits. A lot of them are like finesse type things, but now we're expanding into, you know, we even took like a chigger craw, which was one of our best power bait bass shapes, and made it into mags. And it's, again, we literally cannot make them fast enough. I can't get them, and I designed them. That's sad. It also makes me happy that people are, you know, wanting them. So,
right.
You know, honestly, I don't think Pure Fishing's ever had a better couple years than they have right now. Maybe the mid-2000s would rival it, but I honestly think, and not even in terms of how much money, but it's the amount of good products that we're launching. It's pretty impressive right now.
Well, when I get back to my computer, I will send you some pictures of our smallmouth on the canal to try to heighten your sense of urgency to get out here.
That would be good.
But, they've built, they're easy to fish. They're 90% of them are open to the public. It's a good deal. So,
that's a neat resource out there, actually. They did right out there.
Yes, they did. That and the Interstate Lakes, we did a good job with. What else you got new to recommend?
Oh, you know, there's a couple new lines out. You know, everyone likes Fireline. If you don't like Fireline, you're doing it wrong. And there's another one called Fireline Ultra 8. And so, I mean, one of the things people didn't like about the old original Fireline is they thought it was too stiff coming out of the box. Well, it's thermally fused, and there's a nice coating on it, and that does tend to make it a little stiff. But after, you know, you wear it in for, you know, 50 casts, boy, then she's good, and it'll last 5 years, you know. But, you know, now this Fireline Ultra 8, it's a little more round. It's got eight strands in it, so it has more body to it. Goes on your reel nicer. It's not as stiff. And if your truck gets stuck, you can use it to tow it out. I mean, the stuff is just unbelievably strong for its diameter. That's a really, really good one for us right now.
What's the biggest test weight you make that in?
Oh, boy. I would have to look, but it's probably in that 20 to 30 range. I know we make 20. I'd have to look on the 30. I'm not too sure.
I'm hunting 60-pound flatheads, man. I got
I got some stuff for you. I'll send out a little care package.
I love hunting flatheads. I call them, they are true predators. You know, people wonder what I'm doing. I'm catching, you know, 2-pound carp and putting them on a hook and fishing with them.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It is. So that's, you know, it's the biggest, best I can do here. Did I send you a picture of my white sturgeon that I got up in the Columbia River? 11 and a half feet, estimated at 825 to 830 pounds.
That's a good one.
That was a workout.
Yeah, I bet. I hope it wasn't with that little noodle rod.
No, we were using the appropriate tackle for it, but I spent about 2 hours or better holding back against it. I wouldn't use a belt or a chair or anything. It was me and the fish, period. And I felt
impressive.
The biceps for a couple days after that one.
Yeah. A lot of biofreeze went down that
day. In retrospect, the only thing I didn't do that I wish I should have, you know, you can't even take them out of the water by law.
Right.
We should have gone over close to the shore someplace where I could jump in and, you know, cradle the fish just to give a size perspective.
Right.
But I got it up a picture of it up alongside the boat with the guide, getting it unhooked, and you can tell that it's more than a walleye.
Yeah. It eats 8-pound walleye.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I used a shad that we estimated was 4 pounds. That was my bait.
That's awesome. That's a lifetimer. Good job.
Yeah, that's it. Next on the list is Goliath grouper somewhere.
Ooh, I got one of those a couple years ago. I know a few guys that can put you onto those. Just holler and I'll give you some numbers.
10-4. Mark, thanks for being on the show. Always a pleasure. We got to get together and do some more fishing, bud.
I agree, Rick. Thank you very much for all you've done for us and what you're going to do for us. And nice to know people like you.
Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.